This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, I'm Jake Brennan, and I want to tell you about Disgraceland, the award-winning music and true crime podcast that I host. Disgraceland tells the stories of musicians getting away with murder and behaving very badly. Fleetwood Mac, Nipsey Hussle, Cardi B, Ozzy Osbourne, Taylor Swift, Tupac, The Beatles, Amy Winehouse, Jay-Z, The Grateful Dead, and so many more. This is not the music history you've heard before. This is an uncensored, immersive look at the lives of musical icons as seen through the crimes they've committed or that have been perpetrated against them. Did Jerry Lee Lewis murder his fifth wife? What really happened to Sam Cooke in that seedy motel at 3 a.m.? And how did the Rolling Stones wind up sleeping with the First Lady? Wait, what? New episodes of Disgraceland drop every Tuesday with bonus episodes released on Mondays and Thursdays. So get in, buckle up, and join me in Disgraceland. Available right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Rock and roll.
I went to my high school reunion. It was the 40, and people are like, oh, you're still punk. Well, yeah. I've lived a life of nothing but fun, you know?
Hi, this is Lowell Tolhurst, co-founder of The Cure.
And this is Budgie, co-founder of The Creatures, drummer with The Slits, and Susie and the Banshees.
Welcome to Curious Creatures.
Life after punk.
You may think you know the territory.
But we drew the map.
But it used to be the drummers made a big difference in sound of your band.
Yeah.
Now people just, they got really technical and really good, but it's the same beats.
Yeah.
And the same overproduced sound.
But to get, like, to get your single or your song recorded, you still had to get to somebody's studio. Somebody had to have a room with some mics, and then you had to get a drum kit and the rest of the band. And so it was inevitable that it was going to sound pretty crap. You know, if you were lucky, you'd get this huge, overpowering sound that filled every mic.
Yeah, and some bands got so lucky in their first albums, and some didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting new drum heads for an album, who could afford that?
Yeah.
I mean, strings was, that was something. Hey, I got new strings. Woo! I used to boil my bass strings. Like twice a week, I'd boil strings, get all the shit off it.
I heard when the Banshees first went in the studio, I wasn't with them, but it was like, you know, the producer said, so, well, hang on, what are you tuned to? And they say, well, his guitar was in tune, so we tuned to him, or whoever it was.
That's like Indian musicians. They do the same thing. You know, they all tune to, you know, one person. Or have one of those...
Didgeridoos.
Yeah.
No.
Wrong country.
Wrong country. But we didn't have tuners until maybe the first tour, and some the bigger band had like one of those stroboscopic spinning disc things, you know.
Yeah.
That nobody could understand. It looked kind of cute. I used to have pitch pipes, you know. I used to think they were an instrument.
Oh yeah. We used to carry one of those. I don't think we ever used it.
That was my first harmonica, I think. You know, pitch pipes, trying to play a tune on them. One string rock and roll, I remember. Mark Bolan was my first song. Not Mark Bolan, but Ride a White Swan or something like that.
If you buy his T-Rex's greatest hits, guess what song's not on it?
Ride a White Swan.
No, Banger Gone. Banger Gone is not on it.
It's not on it?
No.
Get it on.
Greatest hits, but someone must have said, nope, can't have this one.
No. That was it.
Yeah. No, I bought the CD and it was not on it. I kept waiting for it. I mean, I like Kids of the Revolution and shit like that, but...
They're good recordings. Good sounding recordings. Like, probably all the band in the studio. Apparently, because old Mark would have been in there on a little rostrum in the middle, like, kind of guiding the band through six songs.
Thank God for glam, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, thank goddess. But it was just, it was, rock and roll was so boring, and that was the liaison for punk.
You say you saw Sweet at the Whiskey, right? Or was it the I-Beam?
At the I-Beam.
So what was it like? I mean, were Kiss already around?
Well, that was later. They were older. It was like probably 88 or 89. But they were so fucking good. It wasn't packed.
No. Well, they were like a kind of... they wanted to be like a Led Zeppelin, but they got in with two songwriters and they started all this.
There are so many great songs, though. And what I... They were the first band I'd ever seen that pulled off their three-part harmony live. You know, it was amazing to watch. They're professionals. And punk rock bands... Very few can pull off even two-part harmony live.
Do you have like this kind of conflict of interest almost, like where you obviously you respect musicianship and the ability to pull it off, as you just said, you know, that kind of technical stuff. And yet also the kind of the knowing that the energy and the desire and the absolute need to go out and find the energy is almost the opposite of that. You know, you don't need any training. You just need the whatever it takes to get yourself up there on stage.
Well, you know, my band NoFX I really believe are the most improved band, you know, because none of us knew how to play, you know, our guitar player playing through a stereo, and we all just bought instruments and we were terrible for like 8 or 9 years. And then I learned how to write a song, and I'm one of those people that, if it's not a good song, I just don't even give a fuck. And I don't like music generally. I just like certain bands and certain records and songs.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I don't enjoy music like most people do. Like the energy and how good or bad sounds, it's the songs that hit me.
Yeah, I get you.
And when I hear something great, that's why X-Ray Specs is so big for me.
Because it was all about the song. It was all about the emotion in it.
But just they're melodic. They're catchy songs. And some bands I don't like, people are like, what? You don't like Elvis Costello? I'm like, no, I think his songs are shite. You know, any band where everyone knows what the big hit is, like Radiohead, everyone knows what their best song is. It's Creep.
Right.
You're not a good band if you have one song that everyone thinks is, and Elvis Costello was not a hit maker. He had a couple, but great bands have, no one knows what their best song is. That's my opinion.
But no, I remember Elvis Costello's, if you like, The Push from Stiff Records. You know, that he was the big chance. And I just saw, I think it was Next Year's Model. I saw the posters. They were full, you know, they had posters. Nobody else could afford posters. But it done by a professional, and they had the shades. He looked like a Buddy Holly character.
Yeah.
And his name was, you know, a kind of a mix of Abbott and Costello and Elvis Presley, right?
So we got Abbott and Costello. We got Lauren Hardy. We got any Marx Brothers references on
the
show?
Yeah, you know, and we were waiting for like the Elvis Costello and the Attractions to come down. And like the kind of guys who liked music from the, you know, the decade before, they were all there waiting because they were thought, no, he's going to be there and Nick Lowe will be there. And like these.
Nick Lowe was a better songwriter.
Yeah, of course. And he didn't know it, but.
So another little known fact. The day Buddy Holly died and the Big Bopper and Ritchie Valens was the day I was born.
Hey, there you go. Was the genetic transmission going on, do you think?
I'm going to say that it was.
I think the Big Bopper may have been reincarnated to you.
I think so.
Well, Budgie, you're more of a Buddy Holly.
No, I'm a Busby Barkley. I want to do those big kind of pirouetting swim dives. You know.
Busby Berkeley.
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 See, I haven't got the California twang. I've got the Liverpool twang.
What do you guys think? What do you think the best band ever, or one of the top three bands? We don't know who the best band is.
I still like the Beatles. I like the Beatles because of their songs, you know.
Well, yeah, the Beatles. They're the best band. No one's ever touched them.
I don't know.
I like Wire. I still love listening to early Wire album.
Well, yeah, that Pink is great. Pink Flag, but you wouldn't consider them to be one of the best bands of all time.
No, it's of its moment. Definitely. Best bands of all time. God.
You know, the first punk band to put out a 7-inch was in England.
Pray Tell. Oh, The Damned?
The Damned. And those guys are still awesome and the coolest motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And this one time I was with the captain about 15 years ago, this big punk festival, and with Byron from Pennywise, and we were doing some coke, and it was just the three of us. Well, hey, captain, you want a line? He's like, I haven't done that shite in 15 years. I go, well, you want one? He's like, yeah. So, and I was like, this is a fucking awesome dude. And we hung out and talked fast for like an hour.
Here's another story then. So in the original Cure, Michael, Mickey D, the bass player, his mum was a school teacher, and Rat Scabies' mum was also a school teacher in the same school. So we used to wonder, look, if we ever met his mum, are we going to have to call her Mrs. Scabies? We never met her.
I play poker with Rat. They're all cool dudes. Some of them don't get along so well.
No. Well, that happens. That happens when you have a band for a long time. You know, it's like a family, right? And sometimes, you know, you get along with your family. Sometimes you don't. Because it's a bit unnatural being stuck in one of those tin boxes going up and down the freeway 24/7 for months on end, you know?
It's unnatural having, if you're like the songwriter or the singer, it's unnatural having more power than other people of this group that you're hanging out with. And it throws things off. It's not like four dudes just hanging out.
How did you find that?
Well, my band, we have the same three originals since 83.
Right.
Yeah, someone joined in 91. And since then, it's all been originals. And we never had a fight. We never had any problems until COVID.
Really?
And people were like, how am I going to make money? And why do you have so much money? Well, I have a fucking label, you guys. I started a label 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I have more money and I write all the songs. But we never had a fight. It was just like best friends, and our crew had been around for 25 years. And it was really amazing. And it's still good, but there were some blowouts.
Well, you know, and any relationship you can keep going for more than 10 years, you got to be, you know, thankful for, really.
Any relationship, yeah.
Well, I'm thankful. No one in my band's a dick. They're all very down-to-earth people. They're all nice, and no one's ever smoked.
No smokers. Well, we don't smoke now, but we used to.
I've never tried a cigarette.
So you didn't listen to music when you were a kid. You've never tried a cigarette. What do you do? Subtle innuendo. That's what Adam said, right?
Oh, you should see my two dungeons.
Yeah, I've read the book. I've read the book because my editor, Ben, he had something to do with it. So he said, here, read this.
What saved us is that I didn't try drugs till my 30s.
Yeah.
And those guys were just doing acid and heroin and coke and doing everything. And I did all the driving, and I held the band together.
Yeah, Mike's going to drive, and everybody else is in the back of the van going,
all night long on acid, just laughing at the stupidest shit, hitting me in the back of the head, and now they have to deal with me.
I used to like sitting up front with a bus driver, you know, and if he wanted some spliff, you know, I'd be rolling the seeds out, you know, and doing a three skinner or whatever it would be. But I'm just making him coffee.
I can't stand people who don't consider pot to be a drug. You know, like potheads, they bother me almost as much as meth heads. You know, other drugs, I don't mind them, but people who smoke a lot of pot, they confuse me. What are you fucking talking about? Why do you keep changing subject? I had our drummer in the early 90s because he was a junkie. And like, he played three records on heroin and he's very good. You know, he never missed a show. You guys smoke pot every day and you forget everything. And you can't kick him out because his drug has a bigger stigma than yours.
Right. Well, yeah, it's all about the stigma, isn't it, of everything? But, I mean, you know, if you think about it, if you've been punk rock most of your life, you know, you've been an outsider anyway. So that's where we exist, you know, and I don't actually care about it. You know, I mean, I meet a lot of people now who are like my age, maybe I went to high school with them or whatever, and they're all retiring. I'm like, retiring? What is that? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, and they don't actually believe what I've done for the last 40 years. You know, they can't get their mind around it.
Well, yeah, like I went to my high school reunion. It was the 35 year 40, and people are like, oh, you're still punk. Well, yeah, I've lived a life of nothing but fun. You know,
when are you going to grow up, Mike?
I'm a rabbi now. Oh, I have a real estate agency or whatever. Like, oh, I just kept playing in my band, travel the world and do whatever the fuck I want. Like, how fortunate are all of us for,
yeah.
You know, we all got to live the dream.
I know. Now I've got to explain it to my kids, you know, because is that you? And is that you? Hang on, if that's you, how can that be you as well?
Oh, I know. My daughter bought me high heels for Father's Day. That's
how old's your daughter?
She's 18.
18. My little boy just called me. He's downstairs. He's 9. What are you doing, Daddy? Where's everybody? Go back to sleep.
It's so cute how people say, Mummy and Daddy. You're both foreigners.
I'm not, though. Well, you know, because I have a passport that says I'm American now. So there you go.
Well, you sound like a foreigner.
Yeah, well, everybody sounds like a foreigner in America.
A lot of people from where I am right now came to America, right?
Where are you?
In Berlin.
Oh, you know what? Now I see it. You got that Berlin look with the round glasses and the black shirt.
Yeah.
The 2 years they spent in Hamburg, the Beatles, they couldn't go anywhere. They didn't speak the language. They just had to hang out in their little fucking room. And all they did is learn every guitar chord.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
People don't even know how genius the chord progressions are.
They might have done a little bit of moving around the Reaper barn or something, you know?
Well, yeah, blocks. They went blocks away.
Ringo, come over here. There's a shop window. You're not going to believe it.
I can understand that. But you're right, Mike, because it's like that book, Malcolm Gladwell, about the 10,000 hours you do, like, makes you geniuses.
Oh, the outliers.
Yeah, and they did that, you know, for those that time in Hamburg. You're right, they played 6 shows a day. They lived behind the cinema screen at the back. You know, they didn't have anything. What are you going to do? Just play.
They perfected their craft, and that's what other bands didn't do.
Right.
They didn't have that opportunity to be stuck like that.
Yeah.
And people don't even know. I don't know how to play a lot of Beatles songs, but even their early songs have, you know, verses with 3 minor chords out of 4.
Mm.
You know, She Loves You. It's like, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what I strive to do is our verses have 8 to 16 chords in them. Yeah, yeah. Every verse is 16 chords, but they change the pattern. Like, my band hates me. But that's the trick, is no one notices. All they notice is that they want to hear the song more than they want to hear a 3-chord song. Like, you can keep listening to it after 20 years and it's still interesting. They don't know why.
It's all about the drums, though, Mike, you know. I think the innovation the Beatles has to be Ringo. And he didn't have big drums, but he went. It's what he did with them, you know. That bum bum tick tss.
Genius.
Bum bum tick tss.
I live in Vegas and I've seen Love 8 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't. When a good friend comes, we got to go see it again.
Yeah,
and it just hits you so hard. Like, even their bad songs. Well, no, they have some bad songs.
Even their bad songs.
Well, I don't want to hear Honey Pie. You know what? Fuck you. Your Revolution number 9 and all that shit, but 80% of their songs are better songs than any other band.
Yeah.
Well, Radiohead is still trying to make the White Album, right?
Mm. Oh, my God.
And Tears for Fears had a good go at it, didn't they? Yeah. You know, I mean, everybody's tried.
Talk about overrated bands. Jesus, fuck.
Did I touch a nerve?
They're the example I use of how big they are and how many records they have. And, oh, now we're doing instrumentals. Everyone just wants to hear Creep, you fucking idiots.
Except me, because I never liked their first stuff. I liked the weird electronic stuff, you know. I didn't like any of the first stuff Radiohead did, but, you know.
The Oasis, now they wrote a lot of good songs.
Mm.
And some long, boring songs.
Mm.
Okay, let me tell my Oasis story. It's pretty good.
What was that?
New Year's Eve in 2001, I hang out with my friend in Snuff, and he's dear friends with Gem, who is our guitar player. And he's like, Mike, we're going to take you somewhere where no one gives a fuck who you are. So we went to a New Year's Eve party at Gem's house. So, you know, the Knowles were there. I mean, the Gallaghers were there, and Andy from Travis, who, by the way, was the only person that would talk to me.
Wow.
But it was so interesting. The Oasis guys were nice. Oh, nice to see you. There's only 20 people there. But after New Year's Eve, Oasis played their own music for the next 5 hours. And they all just sat around a table and rocked Oasis tunes.
Oh,
yeah. Not played them live, played them on the stereo. And I could not believe it. Who does that?
Yeah, who does that? Exactly.
They do, because they believe the hype.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons. But you know what? They're good songs. They're great songs. Are fucking great.
Well, I'm going to hold my opinion on that.
I don't think they're smart lyrically.
I find them just plagiarism.
You can pin the songs on any band. They stole some styles.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Slow Sally Can Wait. I can't. That's not a song that I know. It's just they kind of tried to steal the Beatles sound songs, but their songs are so much simpler and stupider. And more electric guitar. But they pulled it off. And it's one interview that Nardwar did when they said, we told everyone we're the best band since the Beatles. And 50% of the people were like, fuck you, Anchors. And 50% believed it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you do.
Well, that's the basis that Trump's working on, isn't it, really? Well, no, I don't have to mention that, yeah.
I'm the greatest president since. You're the worst president of all time.
Sleaford Mods, have you heard them?
No.
You got to hear them. If you want to hear punk now, like new music, right, Sleaford Mods. UK Grim, that's what you want to hear.
UK Grin?
Grim.
Yeah, this is not a UK Grin. That's just bad dental work. You guys are fun. When are we going
to
hang out?
Well, let's get down to the museum.
Have you got merch at the museum? Because I'll buy some merch. I mean, I want to get in for free, but I'll buy some.
You want the underwear?
Yeah, but not the particular one he's wearing right now. Thank you.
We got some nice burgundy velvets. Right. And they're designed to hold your junk in, too. That's what's cool about them.
Some lace involved, maybe. So I don't know.
You want more sissy stuff. I have that, too.
Okay.
We try to make panties that are attractive to women. That's like the main thing. But I just talked to Frankie Grande earlier today, and he loves our dresses and underwear.
You know what? The Punk Rock Museum sounds like a great place, because I went to Nashville last year, and I went to the Johnny Cash Museum because I thought, well, that would be interesting. It was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
No. You know, the thing, like, you can play Joan Jett's guitar. You could in Tim Armstrong's original Rancid Hollow Body,
right?
My bass, you can play them through the original amps. You know, there's 15. There's a room where you could just play it. There's a guy in there, and he gives you the guitar, and you play it.
Do I sense expansion coming on, Mike? Are you going to have to get bigger premises?
We're getting a little building, which we're going to put a Fishbowl Studios, where it's glass, and you could be at the bar and watch a band record. And the tour guides, you know, we have really cool tour guides. That's the funnest part about being here is Fred Schneider came in the other day from B52, and Flea came in. And when a band comes to town, everyone wants to see it. And everyone is so happy. It brings so much joy to people, which is the main thing.
I'm coming. I'm over
there. All joy. And isn't that what you want in life, is to make people happy?
Yeah, absolutely. Make people happy and give them something back. And that's exactly what you're doing, Mike.
You don't want to miss it. It's very special.
We're coming to see you. Thank you, Mike, so much for talking.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
Thanks for having me on your show, you guys.
So I want to touch the burgundy velvet. Mm. Curious Creatures is created and presented by Lol Tolhurst and Butchie.
Producer, Joe Wong.
Producer and audio designer, Dan Didier.
Executive producer, Mark Cates.
Associate producer, Sophie Wild.
Digital marketing, Margie Taylor.
Art and logo design, Justin Thomas Kay.
Music production, Jackknife Lee.
Curious Creatures is on the web, and you can access us at www.curiouscreaturespodcast.com.
And you can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at Curious Creatures Official, Twitter at Cura Creatures.
To find more of the best music podcasts, visit doubleelvis.com or follow at doubleelvis on Instagram or at doubleelvis on Twitter.
Curious Creatures is a production of LXB LLC 2023.